Last time I was overseas ministering was actually a couple of years back in Sri Lanka, and I was invited over with a dear friend of mine, Joel, and we were asked to speak through a bunch of churches and do healing ministry through a whole bunch of churches, and that included words of knowledge and healing, and we saw just incredible things. We saw things that we couldn't explain. Blind people that couldn't tell us how many fingers beforehand, and then we're like standing across the back of a room saying, you know, what's up? And they're like telling us the amount of fingers from across the room, little old ladies crouched over, you know, and we're like, man, thank you, Jesus. Like, that is crazy. And you know, crippled people that were walking again, like physically getting carried in and then walking out, and we're like, we just like, it was blowing our minds. Like, and there's this thing that happens, I think, and I think we've all experienced it, is you know those times where you go to a conference or you go to a meeting or you have a miracle, you're going overseas, you experience this miracle, and it's like this a crazy revelation that's downloaded to you from God. And, you know, or you know when you go to a big corporate worship event and just that sense of God's presence, and you just go, wow, this is what heaven is supposed to be like. Or you know, you go and have that healing in your body, and you're like, yes, God is a healer. I believe that, I know that. And I'll never be the same, you know. Or you come back and you have this sense that God is doing something, and it gets you pumped up, you know. You do the little bounce thing. And it's, you know, even on a personal level, you encounter God, you know, you're deep in the Word, you know, and God just reveals something to you in the Word, and it's just in your quiet time, and you're like, wow, this has really spoken to me, this really ministers to my heart. And or it's like a breakthrough or a revelation of something that you've been seeking, and you go, oh, Lord, of course, I always knew that. Yes, it's just suddenly it's clicked. And it's this incredible download, and my eyes are open now, and I'll never be the same. Who said that? Who's had a crazy revelation or a miracle in their lives, and like, I'm never going back to that way? Or you have amazing breakthrough in your life, and you're like, I'm never going back. I remember this now. You know, I'm absolutely so guilty of that. But we come back from this concert, or we come back from this ministry trip or whatever, and we're back on the streets, and we're like, yeah, we're going to pray for everyone. We're going to see miracles left, right, and center, because we believe it. We're genuinely convinced. There's this like unshakable determination and faith that we've got in there that we've just experienced. And you know, and we share it with everyone that's around us. Hey, you wouldn't believe what I just learned about God. You wouldn't believe this experience that I've just had. And others kind of, you know, they get alongside and they're like, oh yeah, that's nice. How cool is God? And you're like, no, stop. You don't understand. Like, this is real. You know, and, you know, this is the way we should be living. You know how you get like really pumped up after you receive something? And you're like, wake up. And people smile and they nod knowingly, you know, or even distantly reflecting, yes, I remember when I first learned about that, you know. You know, and what happens? Over time, you know, once the thing that we were so sure of, you know, wow, when I was seeing all those people healed in Sri Lanka, I was so convinced that God was the healer and that I could come back and I could pray for anyone, and I knew that God was the healer and he could heal that. But over time, I get back and people say, oh, that was over there. That doesn't happen here. Oh, I haven't seen that in my life. Or you pray for someone and they don't see the healing. You're like, oh, was that just over there? You know, and what happens over time is the thing that we were once so sure of, the thing we thought we would never forget, you know, that amazing revelation or miracle that you've had, the season of financial lack, you know, where God just came through and you were like, yes, I know God is my provider. I know, and I'll never, never forget that again. And then the next season of financial strife comes and we go, oh, man, like I've forgotten all of it, you know. Or we have the, you know, we're alone, we feel alone, or we're struggling with sin, or this or that, or that breakthrough that we were convinced of, and there's different things that we've gone through, and we're like, yes, I'll never forget that. It becomes distant. It starts gradually to fade. And it grows, it's the faith that we had to see and believe confidently in those miracles is replaced with doubt. The desire for unity and community that we were experiencing in those corporate places of worship when we were so convinced of this is what heaven should be, this is what the church should be, you know, is no longer as important. The discipleship is no longer as important. Getting plugged into your home group isn't as important. Getting plugged into your community isn't as important as that thing that you needed to do or that thing that you got to check off your list. It's just so busy now. I can't. I know I should, but it's just life, you know. And those circumstances of life that we were so sure of regarding God's goodness and promises, they seem now to deafen our confidence in what we were so sure of. And that excitement to grow and to prioritize our relationship with God gets buried under the business and the busyness of life. Even our very fear of God fades a little bit, or it can. You know, the excitement and the boldness to actually share Christ with the world, to share Christ with others and to encounter the kingdom of heaven and bring that to earth. And to be able to stand boldly in our faith, you know, it's now suddenly held back by the fear of man and the fear of others around us, you know. We were so convinced, yes, we're winning souls for Christ. I've had this amazing encounter with God, and I want to see everyone experience that. And now I go to approach someone on the streets and just, you know. And slowly, it doesn't happen overnight, but we drift, and we drift, and we drift, and it fades until we slowly drift back to sleep. And it's this image that God showed me a little while back, and I've kind of been mulling over, and it's kind of what's brought this message to mind for me tonight. And it's this picture of, I was sitting in a room and I was lying on a bench and everything was black around me, and suddenly I had this clear out of the darkness, and there was this big thump on my chest. And out of the darkness, it was just like this big, like, and suddenly, like, light was filling my eyes and everything around me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know I was asleep. I didn't even realize that. But then slowly, with time, if I don't breathe in, I fall back to sleep into that darkness. And God gave me this picture of him defibrillating my body. And sometimes I think we have these fleeting remembrances of truth and reality. And out of the darkness, someone yells clear into our lives. And that someone's God. And suddenly something hits us. And we have this amazing moment. Wow. This is actually how life is. This is actually what God's saying on this point. This is how he wants us to live. And we get so excited, so pumped up, so built up about that. I can't believe I was living that way before. And then it flickers back into the wash of life. And we remember who he is in these amazing moments of worship like we just had here before. We go, oh yeah, God, you're the God of our lives. Yes, you're who we worship. You're amazing. You're wonderful. Goosh, clear. And then gone as we walk out the church door. You know, it doesn't have to be like that, but it's like, you know, do you know what I mean? Or we remember who we serve. Boosh. We remember our identity, douche, our worthiness, grace, and then it's gone over time. It doesn't matter the amount of time that's in that, it fades. And then it was this idea of how do we forget truth so quick? That was my question when I received that vision. I was like, God, like, how do we forget truth so quick? How do we find ourselves in this amazing, should be earth-shattering revelations of God that just blow our minds? We should never be the same again. I mean, the Bible talks about it. And yet, somehow we've seemed to forget that truth along the way. And it's there one moment. How do our eyes get completely filled with Jesus in one moment? So filled with Jesus, and then the next is gone. Like a defibrillator pulse. When we use a defibrillator, and I'm not a medical person, so maybe check with Zane that I'm getting this right, but my understanding is when we use a defibrillator on someone, we are only trying to reset the rhythm of their heart. Or their own heartbeat. We're trying to encourage it to restart. It does not work if the other person doesn't respond. It doesn't actually work if the other person doesn't respond and encourage oxygen into their own body by breathing in and breathing out and breathing in and breathing out for the remainder of their lives. If they don't do that, it doesn't matter how many defibrillator shocks you administer, you could be doing it for the rest of your life. It's useless. They will awake only to lose consciousness again until the next defibrillator pulse. So there was this question again, how do we stay awake, God? How do we stay awake? How do we sustain the revelation and growth that God breathes into our lives in these moments? David was known, I'm going to speak a little bit about David. I've been reading 1 and 2 Samuel in this last week, and it's been pretty awesome. David was known as a man after God's own heart. I'm going to level with you all who haven't read 1 and 2 Samuel yet. David did a bunch of pretty terrible things. He's most well known for being a bit sus with another lady who was married, and then sending said woman's husband off to war to get killed so that he could be with her. So very not cool. And I look at that and I go, how the heck was that guy named a man after God's own heart? Like, I look at that and I go, I don't know. That's a pretty low bar for me after God's own heart. I feel like we could all do it. So I was asking God as I went through this, and I was like, God, like, how does that make sense? I want to do a little bit of a comparison based on 1 and 2 Samuel, and particularly the two first kings of Israel within that. And I feel like that paints a really good picture. And I hope you can bear with me in this. So it's between David and his predecessor, who's the first king of Israel, Saul. And what I felt God showed me through this was, it helped me understand not only how David was a man after God's own heart, but it also helped me understand how David was able to be a man after God's own heart and stay awake, so to speak, sustaining that revelation that he received and the growth that God breathed into his life. So what do we know about David and Saul's starts in life? So, well, both came from farming backgrounds. They weren't exactly, royalty, because they didn't have royalty before that. But they weren't in crazy positions of leadership. Both, though, were called to be kings by God. However, unlike Saul, David developed a really, really good habit in his times tending his flocks in his preparation years. And I think this was the thing that God highlighted me as a really key, as the key that defined the difference between the two. David, in his preparation years, he had developed the habit of meditating on the Lord. We have a whole book filled with a bunch of his meditations, the book of Psalms. And my favorite psalm is Psalm 27, verse 4, and it's by him. And it says, "The one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing that I seek the most, is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple." David understood this idea that in order to sustain his growth and his faith in the Lord, he needed to meditate on the Lord. When the Lord revealed something to him, he reflected on it. And there's some really, I so encourage you to read Psalms if you haven't read it yet. But I'll just read a quick passage out of Psalm 29. It's 2 to 11. And if you guys want to follow along, you can. If you have your Bible with you, or if you don't, then you can listen to me. But he just says, and I think this speaks so much to his heart of around, he would learn something, he'd receive something from the Lord, and then he'd mull on it. And he'd really grow, and he'd really just soak it in. He says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf and Syrian like a wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashing of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as a king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." I just love that. I love that you can see he doesn't just take it at face value. He's meditating. He's really dwelling in it. He's really sitting in it. That was something that I really took from that message of what God was speaking to me in this moment of David knew how to keep the Lord and his revelations of the Lord always in his heart. He stored them up in his heart. And that made all the difference between the two. It meant that when trials came, David was able to cry out in faith, where Saul took matters into his own hands and took advice from the world, and even at times turned to witches for advice. You can find it in Samuel. It meant that when both faced victory, Saul quickly praised God, but he also quickly forgot. David, on the other hand, he had victory, and he would teach songs to the people and sing songs that would help them not forget and strengthen themselves in the promises and truth of the Lord. It meant that when Goliath presented an impossible situation in front of both of them, Saul hid in fear, even though he was the king, while David remembered and strengthened himself in the Lord. And as a boy, he saw a miracle that revived an entire nation's faith in the Lord. That's some pretty stark differences. It meant that when David sinned, he repented and he remembered the holiness of God, but he also remembered the grace and mercy, where Saul saw himself first and ultimately refused to humble himself before God. and which sadly led God to leave him to his own devices, and he died as a result. I believe David's dwelling and remembering of the Lord played a huge part in ensuring that he sustained the character and revelation and growth that he needed to remain effective and to follow after God's heart and to be a man after God's heart. But practically though, because we all need practicals, I was honestly pretty stoked when God showed me this, because I was like, sweet, God, I've got this. I spend time with you. I actually spend time with you each day. And he was like, no. And I was like, no, sure I do. I really do. I admit sometimes, you know, it's in the car and it's busy going to and from things. It's you know, my life gets busy. You know, life probably gets busy. You know, we get busy. And, you know, but for sure, I make it happen. And he was like, Dan, where's your heart at in these moments? Are you present with me? And are you dwelling on me? And I was like, that's really convicting. And I was really challenged by God on this idea of meditating and of dwelling on him. Because it goes way deeper than just spending time with him. To meditate or dwell on something, you can't be tuned out. You know those times when you open, I mean, you guys might be more spiritual than me, but you know those times when you open your Bible and you quickly skim read a chapter because you want to mentally check off that you've spent time with God for the day? Have you guys ever done that? It's all right if you haven't. That's awesome. You guys can pray for me after the service. But, you know, when that happens, you're rushing off to work, you're doing whatever you got to do. How much of that time were you really remembering God and applying that message that you were reading to your life? How much time did you spend listening to what God might want to reveal to you today? If it's anything like me at those times, it's probably not much. And I'm not talking about a time amount, but if we're truly going to meditate and sustain the growth and revelation that God is breathing or defibrillating into our lives in these moments, in a conference, praying for people on the street, whatever it is, you know, if we're going to do that, we have to treat it the same way we treat a relationship. We need to be tuned in. We need to be focused on them. We need to remember and dwell on them when they're away or when we feel distant. Because we need to be confident and we need to be able to remember their promises in the vows that they've made, if it's in a marriage, or in times in the past where they've come through. And I think sometimes it can be easy to forget that our relationship with God isn't metaphorical. And I found that really confronting too. Because we talk about a relationship with God, but I think about if I treat my wife the way sometimes I treat God when I'm spending time with him in a day, when I'm opening the word and I'm tuned out and I'm just trying to get through it, Supriya would not be stoked. She would not appreciate that. But I think sometimes we treat our relationship with God as a metaphorical one. And that was really challenging to me. We say he's number one and that we follow the greatest commandment. But when the Bible says with all of our hearts and all of our mind and with all of our strength, I found that it becomes so difficult to sustain that love for God and to prioritize him in every moment if I haven't first taken time to dwell with him. and to remember and to meditate on him. And the many defibrillations that he continues to do in our lives. It's not just about remembering the current ones, it's also being able to reflect on those times where he's defibrillated in the past, the times where he's sowed in and breathed into our lives in the past. And we can come and draw strength. We can strengthen ourselves like David did in those impossible moments and sustain ourselves. And I think we all know that God wants us to treat our relationship with God like a real, genuine relationship. We all understand that. We all know that. But I think sometimes it's so easy to forget. And maybe we haven't taken the time to dwell on that and remember that deep revelation until we get the clear again, and he defibrillates our heart again. And we go, oh yeah, of course, I remember. I believe that's how David was different from Saul. He took the time to remember and dwell in the shelter of the Most High God. He strengthened himself in the Lord by remembering the Lord's perfections and his promises. He strengthened himself in the Lord every day. We don't know every day, but he strengthened himself in the Lord in all these moments. He prioritized meditating in the Lord's temple so that when heaven didn't appear to be open and Goliath stood tall before Israel as an impossibility and an impression of their soul and their spirit, David remembered and put his faith in the Lord and his promises over all of his circumstances. I believe this was a big part of the reason that the Lord called David a man after his heart. Because David literally made a point of fixing his gaze and following after God's will and his heart. It wasn't hard, too, for David to conjure up the character he needed in those moments. Or to strengthen himself, in faith for the trial that he faced. He'd already been dwelling with God in those moments. He'd put the hard yards in. He didn't have spiritually marshmallowy arms. He was not a big guy, but he was known as a giant killer because he had sustained the revelation and growth that God had breathed into his life. He was able to encourage an entire nation back to God. He was able to be a man after God's own heart and do what Saul never could do because he didn't forget what God had said. He believed what God said and he sowed into it until it could become part of him, until it became character. He dwelt with the Lord on the things that God showed him until it became character. How easy for us is it in our busy lives to experience something amazing that God shows us and say, wow, God, that's really cool, and then forget it? How easy is it for us to forget to even listen to his spirit and what he's saying as we rush here and there in life? How easy is it to believe, or even just to wait for the next defibrillation to come, to go from defibrillation to defibrillation and kind of just go through life waiting for that next big moment that we encounter God and we're like, yeah, we'll wait till the next one? Or people hop to that. People vibe off that. Like, I got to get to that conference so I can experience him again. I got to get to out in the street so I can see him again. And God's saying, no, dwell with me. Turn it into character. Sit with me. It's too late to prepare for a trial or a challenge when the mountain of war is already in front of you. Without the time to prepare and turn the revelations and defibrillations of God into character and something to be sustained, David would have just been another Saul. When he was facing Goliath, if he hadn't been dwelling in the Lord, if he hadn't built himself up and strengthened himself, like it says in the Word, if he hadn't strengthened himself in the Lord, if he hadn't had that time to dwell in the Lord and go, yes, you know what? God is bigger than our enemies. He would have just been another Saul hiding around the back of the tent. It isn't about having perfect recall or having a dedicated hour each day, you know, of time. It's a heart thing. Where is your heart and focus when you make time for him? Maybe God is asking someone's relationship with him to become a little less metaphorical tonight. Maybe someone's hearing God yell to the angels, clear above your heart. I don't know. Or maybe it's none of that. Maybe not at all. And that's totally cool. But however it is, I am convinced that God has given us an incredible gift in being able to remember him and remember his promises, to be able to dwell with him, to take the time to dwell with him in our hearts so that when we face a challenge or a trial or we encounter a revelation or God defibrillates our heart, we have the capacity to hold it there and to meditate on it until it becomes character and we can truly grow in God. And that's really what I wanted to share with you guys tonight. And I hope it really speaks to you. So I just want to pray and we'll go from there. Yeah. Father, I just thank you so much for your word. I thank you that your kingdom comes first, God, in everything. And I thank you that you're teaching us to be people who know how to dwell with you. I thank you that you're a gracious God that defibrillates our hearts, God, when we're not there yet. And I thank you that you don't stop defibrillating our heart just because we don't respond, God, or we don't get it the first time. And I just pray that you would just help us to dwell with you, God, to remember your goodness, to remember your promises, Lord, until it turns into the character that we need to grow with you, God, and to sustain. Lord, I just pray that we would be a people that don't go from high point to high point, Lord, waiting for you to encounter in those moments, but that we would really sow into relationship with you, God. We would really meditate with you until it becomes part of us. Lord, we want to be transformed into your heart. We love you, Lord. Amen.